We know when Jesus returns to the earth, the whole world is going to know it. It will not be a quiet Bethlehem arrival. This will be a majestic display of power and authority of Almighty God, because he's coming back to take over the world. And the final bowl judgment and the final woe judgment of the Great Tribulation will be this cosmological destruction, the likes of which this world has never seen in its entire history. And so we see the place of the seventh bowl here. The seventh angel will pour out his wrath bowl upon the air. Look at first part of verse 17 of chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, okay? And God has been using his angels in many different ways in the Great Tribulation. Their assignments have varied, but this is the finale of the wrath of God, and once again, God will use one of his elect angels. Now, the fact that this angel pours this out upon the air is an indication that the judgment will be hitting every place on earth that has air. This will be a major atmospheric plague that will hit everyone in the world. And during the Great Tribulation, God will target areas for judgment. For example, we know some of the judgments were aimed at 1/4 of the world, Revelation 6:8. By virtue of the fact that this angel releases this in the air, it will hit everywhere in the world where there is air. Now, a judgment on the air would cause difficulty of breathing for everyone in the world. Most people don't realize how dependent upon God they actually are in being able to breathe air. So we suspect that when this judgment hits, people will be gasping for breath, coughing, and trying to breathe. We then move to the second thing, which is the proclamation of that seventh bowl. And we see that in the second part of verse 17. He goes on and he says this, "And a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" As we pointed out, these ferocious judgments have come from the throne of God. This is punishment coming from an angry God. This is the voice of God announcing, "It is done." Only God knows when the wrath meets his standard of wrath. Only God can make this statement. God knows when enough is enough, and when this point is reached in the Great Tribulation, God makes that determination. And we believe that many of these loud voice announcements will be heard in the earth, and God will use a megaphone-type voice. And then we see the punishment of the seventh bowl. Look at verse 18 through the first part of verse 21. It says this, "And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath, and every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found, and great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people." So most people do not realize that lightning flashes are directly from God, who controls the pattern of the lightning and controls where lightning hits. Usually when we watch the weather people on TV, they attribute lightning to Mother Nature. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. It is God who controls the weather. Now, this lightning and thunder certainly does indicate the presence of God in this judgment. This was the same kind of thing that signaled his awesome presence on Mount Sinai. So God is going to put on a lightning show this world has never seen, and there will be sounds. The noun sounds is literally the noun voices. This word is used to refer to some kind of speech or language. Apparently, as the lightning flashing is taking place, people will hear voice sounds coming out of heaven. The text does not tell us what they're saying. We may assume from the context it has to do with the finale of the wrath of God. So keep in mind that people will try to breathe, and they're gasping for air. They'll hear these voice sounds that are coming out of the heavens, and then there'll be thunders. That phrase, peals of thunder, suggests there will be major roaring of thunder, the likes of which this world has never heard before. This is why translators use the word peals, because it's not in the Greek text. It doesn't make sense, but they do that sometimes, and we may assume that's based on the plural noun thunders. The word thunder is plural, which indicates there will be a multiple thunderous roars that will occur, hence peals of thunder. The English word peal refers to a loud, reverberating, ringing sound. and this thunder will roar and reverberate all over the world, and it will be intense. And this roaring thunder is often associated with God and his wrath. The themes of lightning and thunder in the Bible reveal the sovereignty of God and the anger and judgment of God. So we should never forget this when we hear thunder roar and we see lightning flash. And there'll be the greatest earthquake in the history of the world. The most powerful earthquake that has ever been recorded in history at this point was an earthquake called the Great Chilean Earthquake that occurred in 1960. It lasted about 10 minutes. It registered 9.5. The earthquake injured 3,000 people, and it has been estimated that it killed between 1,000 to 6,000 people. And earthquakes typically do four things. They destroy property, they terrify people, they injure people, they bring death to people. And this earthquake here in Revelation will make all those earthquakes look like nothing. This will be the most devastating earthquake in the history of the world. And it'll do every bit of this. The great city, Jerusalem, will be split into three parts. And we learn from Ezekiel 5 that God said he would divide the city into thirds as a sign of his anger and discipline for the sins of his own people. Ezekiel also predicts in Ezekiel 38 that God will send a great earthquake to the land of Israel as a sign of his fury and will destroy the warring nations who will come to the land. And then in Zechariah 14:4 we read, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in the front of the Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move towards the north and the other half toward the south. So our conclusion is that Jerusalem is split into three parts for three reasons. To show that God is angry with the sins that have been committed, to show God is angry with nations who have arrogantly gone to war against Israel, to display that his son is coming back to the Mount of Olives to take over the world. So at this point in the tribulation, there'll be major topographical splitting of Jerusalem. There'll be physical changes right at the city of Jerusalem. Undoubtedly, this earthquake will be critical to this occurring, and then the cities of the nations will fall. And in the Greek text, both nouns, cities and nations, are plural. So the great cities of the nations will come down to this one, with this one worldwide earthquake. And God will remember Babylon and pour out his fierce wrath. And when fierce wrath is read, that's not a good thing. We don't even know what that actually means. But Babylon is remembered by God, and not fondly. God is remembering her to give her all the wrath that she deserves. So if you take into consideration the fact that God has kept the record against Babylon for centuries, what we learn here is that he does not forget and does not overlook. Wise are the people who face their sin and deal with their sin before they get before God. And every island will flee away. Now the difference between what happens here in this judgment and what happened in seal judgment number 6 in Revelation 6 is that in that judgment, the islands and mountains were relocated. In this judgment, they are annihilated. The images of all islands fleeing is intriguing. That Greek word, verb there, literally does mean to flee from something or take flight from someone. And the point of the language seems to be that islands would take flight away from people so that no one can catch them and hide out in them. And every mountain will be gone. The great ranges of the world, mountain ranges, will be gone. And then huge hailstorms, each weighing 100 pounds, will fall on men. These hailstones are coming directly out of heaven, and their target is men. 100-pound hailstone that comes out of heaven and hits a human will splatter them instantly. God is going to fire 100-pound hailstones at humans on earth. This is not a game. They will have to dodge or they will be crushed, and most won't be able to do it. Lastly, we see the perversion of the sevenfold. Look at the second part of verse 21. It says, and so these hailstones fell, and they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. Rather than men turning to God, crying out for his mercy, they blaspheme God. Which is interesting here, is that all people of the world know that God controls the weather and he controls the planet. And sometimes there are people that are trying to get people to believe they control it. They don't. They don't control the air. They don't control the weather. They don't control thunder and lightning. They don't control earthquakes. They don't control hurricanes or tornadoes. They don't control hail. God controls it all. And men will admit this at this point in the tribulation, but it will be too late.